On this episode of Made for This, we are back with part two of my conversation with Stephanie Rourke Jackson on Crushing Your Inner Critic. It's episode 53. Let's do this. Welcome to the Made For This podcast. I'm Alex Street, and this is the place for conversations about discovering and doing what you're made for as you are searching for meaning and significance and playfulness in your life. This podcast is here to come alongside that journey with you. We want to bring you value. We want to inspire you to action and help you tell a better story with your life. We began doing that by focusing on your inner critic just last week. In the last episode, we started a conversation with Stephanie Rourke Jackson from Beacon Coaching, and today we're going to continue that conversation to get really practical and focus on some action steps. If you want to hear Stephanie's whole story from her life, you can hear that on episode 18 of the podcast, where I actually interviewed her and got to understand how she got into life coaching and a whole lot of other inspiring things. So that's episode 18 of the Made for This podcast. You can go listen to that. And of course, if you want the first half of this conversation, then just dive on back to episode 52 and start listening there, then jump back into this one. It'll make a whole lot more sense. Hey, today we're talking about crushing your inner critic. And as we spent last week identifying what that critic is, you know, what it sounds like, what it feels like to hear that critic speak, today we're digging into some action plan stuff. The now what, you know, the now that you're aware of it, what do you do with that awareness? Thankfully, Stephanie shares some of her proven tactics with you and me to silence that critic, the one that's holding you back, so that you can keep moving forward and do what you're made to do in this life. Before we get into it, I just have three small things I want to mention. Number one, this is really getting practical on this, talking about your inner critic. I need to say that I actually almost quit this whole podcasting thing last week. I was editing this two-part episode, and as I finished up the first part, I deleted the second part. And like, it didn't just go to the trash, I actually cut it, like Control X, cut the file, and then it didn't paste properly after I closed down the thing and saved the whole thing, so it was gone. It's goodbye, kaput, gonzo, absolutely toast. So after half a day of trying to recover it, trying to find programs that will do this for me, and failing horribly and frustratingly, I was so, oh man, so angry that I almost closed the whole thing and just took some time off from this. I was just going to not post an episode, not say anything, and just say, I'm done. Instead, I listened to the critic, the thing in the voice in my head that was telling me that I'll be embarrassed if I tell Stephanie that I have to re-record. There was this critic that was saying, oh, if you do that, you're going to be embarrassed. And then, you know, you're not the pro that you think you are, this imposter syndrome, right? So I heard that and I thanked the critic for keeping me safe and saying, yeah, no, that's okay. I recognize what you're trying to do here and how frustrating this is. And then I messaged Stephanie to break the news, and she was obviously gracious, as you can imagine she would be. And she was able to record again, thankfully. And so here we are with a new part two of the conversation. So I just want you to know the struggle is a daily one. But when you're able to silence that critic, you can do even more than you thought. Because after that, after messaging Stephanie, then I kind of felt this confidence. And then I went wild contacting more people to be guests on the show coming up. And even some of them that I was afraid to ask, I'd had on my list, but I was afraid to ask earlier. And I just went ahead and asked, and they said yes. And so I need to tell you, we are going to have a great next stretch of episodes as these interviews come in at you. Get excited. Number two. I had three things I want to say. Number two is I am really, really thankful. I'm thankful for those of you that comment on the episodes on social media or you send me messages. I'm thankful how much you appreciate the show. It's really empowering, and it reminds me that there is actually a community behind this. This isn't just for me. And so thank you for being a part of that. And to celebrate the community a bit, I do want to say thanks specifically to those that left reviews on iTunes. This is so valuable, and we need to keep this going. So thank you to people like Sargipoo, who left a review, love the name, and he said, this podcast is one of the most inspiring podcasts I've listened to. Every episode encourages me and challenges me to do something to improve my life and grab life by the horns and go after my dreams. Thank you so much for doing this, Alex. This is what you're made for. And he left a big fat 5-star review. So that is awesome. Thank you, Sarji Poo. You are so welcome. I love doing this and I'm really thankful for your words. And I'm glad to be a helpful guide in your life. So look, if you listening, if you leave a review, I'm going to try to give you a shout out in future episodes. So go ahead, get on that as soon as you can. Like maybe now. And now number 3, and this one's a good one. This is for you. There is a downloadable freebie worksheet to go along with this episode and part 1 of this conversation so that you can dig in and do the work to crush your inner critic. So go on over to alexstreet.ca/madeforthispodcast/53. alexstreet.ca/madeforthispodcast/53 to download that right now. Free, not asking for anything, just so that you can do the work and crush your inner critic, because that's what I want you to do. Now, with all those things out of the way, let's learn how to do what I did earlier this week, all right? Let's understand this critic more and create habits that will continually crush that voice. Here's part 2 of my conversation with Stephanie Rourke Jackson.
Fear is a physiological response that your body has to something that is unknown.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's this anticipation, there's an arousal, the mind goes into high alert, and your body responds. So whatever your brain is telling your body is going to respond to. So if this is a fearful threat, a situation that's dangerous, your body sends signals, or your brain sends signals to your body, and your body responds typically this way.
Yeah.
Sweaty palms. Heart starts racing, breath gets a little bit shallow. You feel it somewhere in your body, whether it's tightening up your chest. I feel it through the back of my neck and in my shoulders. And I know that I'm experiencing fear or some sort of level of anxiety because everything gets a little bit tight. Some people faint. That's just
these like extreme fear examples, or you're saying that like no matter what, there's some sort of physiological reaction to, like, whether you're afraid of like there's a tiger in front of you, or you have a math test coming up that you're gonna respond.
And of course there's gonna be different levels,
right?
Obviously there's some of it is just more difficult, but anything that you're facing maybe for the first time, or you've been triggered by something that, you know, in the past was very frightening.
Right. Yeah.
So it comes back, right? Because there's now an emotional attachment to this experience or thought.
Right.
And that's really what a thought is, just something that you've created, and then there's a memory, and then there's an emotional experience attached to it.
So this inflates it. Inner critic stuff that we've been talking about, this going back to some moment at some point. Something happened, which then created, as you say, a thought that now, in fear mode, speaks up.
Yeah. And so it gets overwhelming.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that I've learned through research is that your body goes into the exact same physiological response when you're excited. When you're excited about something that's really cool that's coming up. Again, it's still new, but it has a favorable outcome. So let's say you fear flying.
Yeah.
Right? You just don't like being in an airplane. It's claustrophobic. You're not sure if you're going to land or not. There's turbulence, all these unknowns, and you're fearful. So your body goes into this heightened arousal state. What you can do is notice it and then trick your body by sending signals to say, oh, I'm in fear, but you know what? I'm also really excited. I'm excited about the vacation that I'm going to spend this with my family. We're going to go to Disney. We're going to make memories. It's going to be so awesome. So as you are contemplating that and you're actually creating a new story, right? You're creating a new tape in your mind, a new loop, because your body is already responding. So now you go into all of that experience, but now you've changed it, the perspective, and you've challenged that fear.
Yeah.
And you're now replacing it with a new story.
Whoa. So story is everything here. So this is so when you have, so the inner critic speaks up and you you're aware of it now that we're aware of it, because everybody listened to the first half of this, and
of course
they're becoming aware of this. And so when you're aware of your inner critic, then all of a sudden you start to notice it. And now you're saying that as you notice it, it's simply turning that fear into excitement.
Mm-hmm.
Or is it negative to positive, or wouldn't you call it?
It's just flipping the switch.
Yeah.
Because your body is already responding. So this is just one little trick that you can do,
cool.
Right? So again, and I love that you said awareness, because being self-aware is the key to living a life of fulfillment. Because if you don't know who you are, and you've already talked a lot about this in your last three podcasts, I think, about, you know, knowing your strengths and your skills and your personality, and knowing all of that gives you the confidence to be able to then go, oh, okay, this is a vulnerable setting that I'm in right now.
Yeah.
And my potential derailer is the kind of shadow side to some of my strengths and personality. So there's things that are going to like rear its ugly head to keep you away from potentially being in a dangerous situation,
right,
which evokes fear. And is it fear of failure? Is it fear of success? Is it fear of not measuring up?
Mm-hmm.
Is it fear of rejection? So knowing where your fear point is gives you the ammunition to then be able to notice it, change it, and challenge it. Because if you can't know where you're coming from, then how do you know where you're going? It's the same thing as if you don't know what broke, how do you go back to fix it?
Yeah.
You can't just fix something by just, you know, thinking roses and sunshine or trying to suppress it. Because when you suppress it, it will come back.
Right.
So you need to confront it.
Yeah.
So fear is really just, can be confronted with vulnerability. And vulnerability means I'm okay to expose this, to let people see where I'm not really all that in a bag of chips. You know, like I do have some fears or some anxieties or some defects.
Yeah.
You know, you're not perfect, but allowing yourself to be in that place of being exposed gives you strength.
Wow. So this is just one way, as you're saying, this is one sort of lead-in way to, if you're going to start to crush this inner critic,
mm-hmm.
then first let's face fear. Let's look at this and understand what that is. What are some ways then that you've learned that we can practically now step into this and work through how to silence that voice, silence that critic, and tell a better story?
Well, Alex, I'm glad you asked. I have a 5-stone approach that I've developed from various different experts, but this is what I use in my coaching practice. And the 5 stones is significant because everybody has a Goliath in their life.
Yeah.
Right? Cool. So like David had 5 stones, but really only needed one to take him down. So 5 stones. One is just notice the voice of the inner critic. And we talked a lot about that in the first one, so we don't need to go over that. But really sit down and get to know them. Like have a tea party. Invite them to the table.
Mm-hmm. And you mean like literally,
literally
sit at a table.
Sit down with a piece of paper. You can do this with other people, but I suggest you do it by yourself. It's a really good contemplative exercise of becoming more self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
So you sit down and you list all the words that you hear, the voices, how does it make you feel? And then you give that inner critic an identity. So when you actually give that voice a personification, so for example, one of mine is dumbass.
Okay.
So when I hear that you're not smart enough,
you
know, other people are so much smarter. They have all the letters after their name. They've got all these degrees. And what do you think you're doing showing up at that place? You're not smart enough. You're not intelligent. So when I hear that, and remember, this goes back to, you know, that shame that I felt when I was in grade 4 with the dunce cap on. So now what I do is I know what the voice sounds like. I've named him dumbass. So when dumbass shows up, I just go, oh, you're here. Okay, are you trying to warn me about something like with some real potential danger? Or are you just reminding me of, you know, an experience that I had? Well,
right.
Let me tell you this, dumbass. Thanks for showing up, but I don't need you today. Because you know what? I am a smart person.
Yeah.
I can use Google. I can use a calculator. I can talk to a friend. I can get advice because I recognize, of course, I'm not going to be intelligent in every area of my life, but I am intelligent in many areas. And then I can look at my inventory. Mm. What have I done in the past that that credits me with having done some smart things? Right. So make a little list of that, too. Like in school, what sort of accomplishments did I have in my work, in my community, in my relationships? You know, what do other people tell me about myself? So I can now have an ability to just go, oh, it's you. Yeah. Thanks. Thanks for showing up today. But no, thanks.
Yeah. And so this starts by sitting down for tea with this person. So even to draw back to the identities that you talked about earlier, the judge, the imposter, and all that sort of thing. So it's not just saying, oh, look, here's my judge, or what, but you're saying actually, no, like recognize that that's the voice, so that's where it comes from. But now you're saying actually name it, recognize what it's trying to show, and then respond.
Like if it's the imposter, if you feel that imposter syndrome creeping up, you know, maybe phony Fred. Phony Fred, you're trying to tell me that, you know, I'm just, I'm not capable of doing this.
Right.
Well, actually I am, because I have a degree, I have clients, I have, you know, work that I've done, I've been paid. So clearly, you know, there's authenticity to the work that I do. Yeah. So I don't know what you're trying to keep me from. Maybe I'll figure it out. Maybe I won't, but I recognize who you are and what you're trying to do, and not today.
Yeah.
Because the goal.
Cool.
Right? The goal or the vision for your life, when you're starting from the end and you look at what do you want to leave as a legacy? Who do you want to be known for? What do you want to do with your life? And in all honesty, the pain of regret is so much deeper for the things that we never did, that we didn't show up for, that we didn't say, than the actual fear of failure or fear of whatever it is. So keep that in mind too. It's like, what am I preventing myself from doing from this, you know, end of life kind of legacy? If you vision yourself at your own funeral, what do you want people to say about you? And then go back and think, okay, well, that's a dream. That's a goal. That's something that I really want to achieve. And because the cost is so high, meaning there's an anticipation of loss. If you don't do this thing, it lost time, lost credit, lost courage, lost money, lost a potential relationship. So that's the focus. So when we're going through and we're doing this 5-stone approach to attack the inner critic, it's really in service of you being able to fulfill.
Right. Because I think that's, and this is, we'll go on to the next stone in just a second. And I think what's important is that it's just this reiteration that the critic isn't necessarily like vindictive. It's not just out to crush everything that you, it's not out to squash, to deflate all of your dreams. It's again, it's trying to protect you. And so to be aware of that and then take it to tea and just consider, what are you protecting me from? Okay. And guess what? We're going to go for this one because this is worth it. And what you're saying there is, there's a lot more worth it than we give ourselves credit for.
Yeah.
When you look at the
end. Others need what we have
too. Yeah.
Number 2, 3, and 4 are kind of all in the same container. So we are a whole person, meaning we have a mind, a body, and a spirit. So with the mind, there are a lot of things that you can do. And basically, this is a mindset perspective. This is a growth mindset. So instead of thinking, you know, the negative and all the things that can go wrong, we're going to flip that and we're going to utilize growth mindset exercises. So I love the image of a kintsugi piece of pottery.
Tell me about that.
Yeah. So it's a Japanese art form.
Yeah.
When pottery breaks, they don't just toss it out because it's broken, because it still has use and it's still beautiful. So what they do is they put it back together using gold, which is stronger and beautiful. So now this piece of pottery, which has been broken, is now put back together and it's more beautiful for being broken. So what you want to do is you want to take those broken talk tracks, those deep ruts that you've been telling yourself over and over again, now layer in the gold. So what's the gold? Mm-hmm. The gold has to be truth and identity statements that are about you, about your character, about who you are, about your worthiness. Really, that's what it is this... the inner critic is really attacking your sense of worthiness, right? You're not enough. So now you're bringing something back in that says, oh yeah, you are enough. And if you're not so sure about it, ask the people who love you. Ask your mom or your best friend or your spouse or somebody who really knows you. Like, ask them, you know, who am I and what do you love about me or what am I good at? Yeah. They will tell you and then believe them.
Yeah.
And then if you want to know more about what you're good at, go back to Alex's podcast or go to any number of assessments that are available. So many for free, right? Myers-Briggs, StrengthsFinder, Enneagram, Colors, DISC, whatever it is. And look at those and pull out all the words that really resonate with you. Like, oh yeah, that is me. Yeah, people have said that about me. Oh yeah, I identify with that. And make a nice list. And what you want to do actually by the end of that is grab like 100 words that speak truth about who you are and make this your identity profile statement that you can use to share with anybody and have confidence in yourself.
Right.
So I am curious. I'm solutions minded. I'm creative. I am loved. I have capacity.
Like
all of these things that are true about you so that you can then, boom, you go to that when you need to layer in the gold in your mindset.
Well, this is what you just did earlier, talking about dumbass. And then you said, no, actually, I am smart. These, this, and this. Those is that what you've done with that? You've created an identity statement that has a quick response and has now actually, rebuilt your life with the gold of truth of who you actually are.
Exactly. And you make it a habit.
Yeah.
Right? So, so these destructive patterns... self-limiting, you know, patterns of thought and words that you've spoken over yourself or you've taken from somebody else, now needs to be confronted and challenged and then replaced because that's where change happens. So that's mind.
The replacement. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Body.
Yep.
Body is very powerful. Best thing to do to enhance a more positive overall mindset is exercise. Move. Just move your body. Once you're moving, you're actually activating the feel-good chemicals. You're reducing your weight. You have energy. And while you're exercising or moving, speak those truthful I am statements over yourself.
So now we're layering this up. So, okay. So is this, are these actually like strategically in order? You said like, is it, well, if you do the mind, if you figure out the mind thing, well, now you're doing the body thing, add the mind.
Yeah, they can be, but yeah, no,
okay.
Not
they
really.
All weave in interchangeably. It's good.
Mind,
okay.
Body, spirit.
So, yeah. Okay. So continue. So you're, as you're moving, speak those things into your life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Definitely do that. And for goodness sake, please don't build negative into your life while you are, or speaking negative thoughts into yourself while you are exercising, because your body is releasing adrenaline, serotonin, endorphins that are, that are good chemicals, good hormones, and they double impact. So if you're speaking the negative over yourself while you're exercising, like, oh, this is never going to work. It's taking so long. I'm so weak. I'm never going to lose the weight. I'm never going to look good. Whatever it is, then you are just double impacting that. So please, please, please don't do that.
Wow.
But speak good things over yourself. Like, wow, I'm doing it. I actually got out there. I put on the running shoes. I did what I said I was going to do. I promised this for myself. I didn't break my promise. Now I have this commitment.
Yeah.
I'm feeling stronger. I'm feeling tighter. I'm feeling more energetic. That's powerful.
It's doubly as powerful. Wow, that's important.
Yeah. The other thing you can do too real quick is just do a power pose. You know, before you're going into a meeting or an audition or anything where that fear is starting to bubble up and you're starting to hear the words of the inner critic, if you have to, you know, dart off to the bathroom, close the stall, put your hands on your hips, feet set apart, head up, and just say, you know what, I can do this. Like, have a mantra that works for you.
Right.
This too shall pass. I can do it. I got it. You know, anything that's going to speak into your confidence and your ability to be courageous in that moment of fear, to face it and then get through it.
Yeah. Actually, like you mentioned auditions. It's good because I've just been working on this and kind of trying to figure out how can I have a better mindset going into auditions and more importantly, coming out of auditions when I didn't get the feedback I need and whatever. And I feel like I was just used and I'm not going to hear back on this. And I've just been doing some work and like speaking these words and body posture, everything going in, like how I present myself is important. So am I smiling? How does my body feel? Am I slouching? What's going on there? And even these words, like I have a list of phrases now I need to say as soon as my name is called, then on my way, as I get from the waiting room to the room, like I'm saying, I get to do this. I'm important in there. We're working together. Like I have a few phrases that have totally flipped the script, and coming back to all this are telling a different story as I'm going into this space where there's a lot of fear and there's a big critic speaking to me saying, they're not listening. They don't care. What are you doing? And it's all validated as I leave and they just say, thanks. And there's no feedback, right? My critic is actually validated if I want it to be. But if I work with the body and I work with the mind up to this point, it has actually drastically changed things just even the last couple of weeks as I've looked into this and or started doing this. There's a different feeling coming out and there's actually a different response the room. So, I mean, just to put it really practically, real life, this is where this is happening and it's changing how I move through this new, fresh, fun stage in my life. So fantastic. We've got mind, we've got body. What about spirit?
So spirit, the thing about spirit is really taking time for reflection. Have some space in the morning, especially in the morning, because you're going to start your day. So it sets the tone for the day. Now, whether you like to read devotionals or book of inspiration, pray, have some silence and meditate. Just get yourself into that position and posture of confidence and love for yourself, love for your world, love for other people, and three things that you can do, doing a gratitude journal. So list three things that you're grateful for. Automatically, that's going to put you into a different mood.
Yeah.
And breathe through all of that. And then three things that you hope for in the day or just in that week, but something that's fairly present, not long term, because you can lose that right away, but three things that you hope for in that day, and then three things that you love about yourself. A lot of people find this hard. And that speaks to our sense of worthiness. If we can't love ourselves, it's really difficult to love others.
Well, that's what I like that. I mean, it's a Jesus phrase, right? Love your neighbor as yourself. And I was like, you can take that. You can actually look at that different ways. You're like, well, yeah, but actually I do a crappy job loving myself. So I think, and a lot of us do, and that's why we do a crappy job loving our neighbors, because we don't actually know how to love ourselves.
Yeah.
And so there is actually value in understanding that and how to do that. And as you do that, you will be more confident to love your neighbor, to love others in your day. So we're thankful. Three things we're thankful for, three things we're hopeful for, and three things we love. And that is going to change your spirit throughout the day.
Well, that helps to ground you and center you right at the beginning, right? So now you kind of know, what am I going to do? And then review your agenda for the day, look at your plans with anticipation, like you just said too, like, oh, I get to do this. I get to go to work. I get to go to school. I get to have that really difficult conversation because it's going to help me grow. You know, things like that. That's a growth mindset. And then, so we've talked about stone 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the final stone is your inner captain.
Okay.
So your inner captain is the person that you can tap into at any time, especially when you hear and feel the voice of the inner critic. The inner captain is where all truth, compassion, courage, wisdom resides.
Okay. Say those again.
Truth, compassion, courage, wisdom.
Yeah, okay.
So that your captain has all of that. Your captain knows exactly who you are, all of your strengths, all of your talents, all of your skills, and all of your limitations, and has room for all of that. Total acceptance. Okay, so this is a place where you fully belong.
Yeah.
fully are loved. So I take my clients through a little journey, mm-hmm. and we'll do this quickly. Maybe you'll have the list of questions where your listeners can then fill
yep.
it in and
yep,
do that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, okay. There's going to be a good freebie to go with this episode, Alrighty. So it'll be in there.
So what you want to do is in a quiet spot, maybe play some soft music, spa-type music or nature sounds, and you want to just get really quiet, breathe. And when you're breathing properly, you're going around a box. So you're going to the top, hold it down the side, let it out on the bottom, hold it on the other side going up. And do that a few times. That just releases any tension or stress in your body. Mm-hmm. You want to picture yourself in your happy place. You know, the place where like nothing goes wrong. It's just beautiful. Maybe you're just sitting in your cozy chair by the fire. Maybe it's the beach. Maybe it's a mountaintop. Wherever you feel completely and utterly magnificent. Like it's just, life is beautiful here, right? Mm-hmm. It's a peak experience moment. So you get yourself there. Notice your surroundings, mm-hmm. sounds, the weather, the air on your skin, the sunshine or the coolness, just the whole environment, like just really soak it all in. And then notice somebody coming towards you off in the distance, but your eyes lock. Hmm. Like, I know this person. This person knows me inside out and backwards so well. Your captain is walking towards you, smiling. Your captain comes and sits right with you, very knowingly, very lovingly. And at that moment, you ask your captain, what is my purpose in life? What do you know about me? Mm-hmm. And your captain is also going to give you a gift. So you take this gift, you open it up, you thank your captain for the gift, and you keep that gift as part of the strength of being able to know and identify who you are. Now, that gift is different for everybody. This experience is different for everybody. We're moving through this really quickly, so some of you are probably going, well, that's ridiculous. But if you actually take the time, and it is good yeah. to have somebody coach you through it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you can just sit and allow the experience to happen. But really what you're doing is you're finding the place where you feel the most like yourself. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's, you know, it's a grandmother. Sometimes it's, you know, it's your spirit, your soul, Jesus, mm-hmm. it's God, it's the wisest person that you know. It's somebody guiding you, helping you, and taking your hand and really saying, you know what? I'm here with you. We got this.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're taking all the shame story that your inner critic is trying to dump on you, and you're replacing it with this beautiful grace story.
It's beautiful. I love how it's inner critic and inner captain. There's the kind of play on that a little bit. And I like how, I mean, just even taking through the exercise, what you say, you're right, we flew through that there, and that's something that you do in your practice as a coach and in some of your workshops. And so I just want to highlight for sure, if anybody wants to take more time and have Stephanie lead them through that, then absolutely get in contact with her, because it's this sort of stuff that it's life-changing, right? I mean, you've seen this. You've seen mm-hmm. people work through oh. this, and...
Absolutely.
As they identify Absolutely. Their inner captain, mm-hmm. it's transformative.
Mm-hmm. Not every time, but most of the time there's an emotional response. People are moved to tears. They've seen something they haven't seen in a very long time. Something bubbles up for them. Mm-hmm. And there's hope.
Yeah.
Right? It's this, I think really at the end of the day, everybody just wants to know they're going to be okay. I'm going to be okay.
Yeah, write that down.
No, but that's really, yeah. And to say that to yourself, like, I'm going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's going to be all right. I will get through this. It's a resiliency plan. This is really what we're building right here is a resiliency plan. And I think the human spirit is absolutely more resilient than we give ourselves credit for. We can do hard things. We can get through things. Just because an obstacle is in our way doesn't mean that we have to move it out of the way. It actually is the way. That obstacle, that thing that you think is holding you back, is really the thing that's inviting you forward, inviting you to come through. Because on the other side of that is growth and possibility and innovation and creativity and the things that you want.
Yes. That is so good. Oh man, that gave me the feels. This is that barrier in front of you is actually the thing that's inviting you forward. I love that so much. We walked through a ton here. As you say, we really blew through all of this stuff so fast. And I know that people are gonna want to know more about all this stuff. And so we'll leave you all the links to connect with Stephanie online as you want to. Is there anything else, as we talked about, again, who the inner critic is, kind of defining that, and then these practical things, practical stones or steps that we can take to begin to silence and crush that inner critic so that we can move forward and walk with joy and expectancy through that barrier instead of fear and trepidation and turning around and walking backwards. So is there anything else that you want to kind of wrap up, summarize with here as we...
Just really quickly, an acronym. When you sense that inner critic or saboteur is trying to, you know, rattle your brain and rattle your life, just say stop. Like literally just stop.
Yeah.
And the acronym, S is for saboteur. Saboteur just showed up. Okay, I've got a plan. T, talk truth. So now you've got your affirming I am statements.
Yeah.
O is just be open to the opportunity. Don't try to suppress it. Mm. Be open. What's going on here? That awareness piece. And you've got your stones, right? So like, what can I use here?
Yeah.
And then the P is just, I got this prepared plan. Like I've got something here that's going to help me. So I'm okay. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to get through it.
Saboteur, talk, opportunity. Plan. Stop.
And literally, so you can say that, right? Like, stop. I'm not going down that road anymore. I'm like, no, I'm taking a different route.
Fantastic. So good. I love the practical stuff, right? Like, I mean, it's easy to talk kind of in the abstract. We can play around in that area, and there's wisdom in there that we share with one another. It's so good. But when we really get down to this meat and potatoes, okay, but what do you do when you hear that voice? What do we do? So you've given us some really practical things to say, mindsets to have, lists to write, notes to take, and just even a word to shout out in the middle of a public square when you hear the inner critic yell stop, and all will be good, we promise you. So Stephanie, thank you so much. It's just great to hear this, to go through it again. Every time I hear this stuff, I learn and I work through something new, and so I'm just so thankful that our listeners get this as a treat as well. And I'm sure that there's still the best is yet to come for you and your business and what we're doing here, and for people that are working through crushing their inner critics. So thank you for sharing this.
Ah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Oh boy, she's good, right? I mean, Stephanie has so much to share. She has so much more to share, even than what she did. But we had to move on through this. And honestly, this is probably a good enough size meal for us to chew on for now. So some questions for you. What is your inner critic? You know, when does it speak up typically? Have you identified that? How about this? What does fear look like for you? How does your mind respond to fear in your life? Are you aware of that? And then think about the stones that she mentioned, these five kind of tactics that she uses to crush the inner critic. Which one of these will be most helpful for you as you begin to crush your critic? Remember, these are habits. This isn't a one-time fix. It's not like you do these things and all of a sudden now the critic will never speak again and you're good to go. These are consistent habits that you practice so that you are stronger moving forward. So so will you create a habit of talking with that inner critic? She said, take it to tea. Instead of hiding from it, just recognize it and say like, oh yeah, hey there. Will you create a habit of speaking truth about yourself? You know, really changing your mindset, changing the story of your life. A couple episodes back, Andrea Crisp talked about doing this in the morning and therefore starting your day ahead of the game. You're already starting at a plus a position. And so will you make a habit of speaking truth about yourself? Will you create a habit of moving your body, whether that's exercise or it's power poses, whatever it is, embrace the relationship between your body and your mind and your soul and recognize the effect that your body has. Will you create a habit of meditation? You know, 10 minutes a day can significantly affect your stress level. Just 10 minutes of quiet, silence, sitting, darkness, quiet, whatever it is, this will significantly affect your stress level, your brain power, the effectiveness of your work, your creativity, and your gratefulness. And will you create a habit of listening to your inner captain instead of your inner critic? My friends, I am pumped for you going forward. If you do some of this stuff that we just talked about, it can drastically change how you walk through your days. If you start living in an aware state of this voice in your life, you will already begin to take massive strides forward. You don't even have to do much more. Just a sense of awareness moves you forward. So whether you're looking for a job, whether you're graduating college, maybe you're stuck in a job you've been in for a long time, or a relationship, or a system that perpetuates the lies of the critic in your life, start here by recognizing it. Then thank it for trying to protect you, and then say, you know what? I don't need you right now, because I'm going to do something that'll change my life and will change those around me, and it's the right thing to do. So critic, I'm not waiting anymore. Now is the time to move. Once again, there is a sweet freebie with some of the stuff Stephanie talked about. It's available on my website, alexstreet.ca/madeforthispodcast/53, and you can go and download that there. And if you're looking for Stephanie to work with to help guide you through some of this stuff and get you on the right track, that would be a great investment in your life. So go to beaconcoaching.ca or beacon_coachingca on Instagram. You'll find her there. Thank you, my friends. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, go and begin to tell a better story with your life.